Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome those of you who are listening via cell phone, excuse me, or landline. Thank you guys for tuning in to the show. And those who are listening online at Blog Talk Radio, thank you guys for tuning in as well. 516-531-9483 is the number to the show. That's where you can call in and listen live to the show. And if you'd like to give a comment or give your opinion about today's episode, just press the number 1 on your keypad, and that will alert me that you would like to be on the show, and I will get you on the air. Okay? Again, 516-531-9483 is our number to the show. Now, let's see here. Something's going on. Let's see here. Today's word of the day is cathexis. Cathexis. C-A-T-H-E-X-I-S. Cathexis is a noun, and it means investment or emotional energy in a person, object, or idea. Investment of mental or emotional energy in a person, object, or idea. That is cathexis, okay? And right now it's 61 degrees in the ATL. We have cloudy skies. It's been raining on and off all morning, right? We're looking at a high today of 72 and a low tonight, 53. Tomorrow, rain, 70, rain and high 70. Wednesday, cloudy, high 72. Thursday, rain, high 66. Friday, partly cloudy, 73. Saturday, sunshine, 72. Sunday, partly cloudy, 80 degrees. So it looks like we're going to have a really good weekend and a kind of ugly start of the week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Today, tomorrow, all the way until Friday. Friday looks like it's going to be a pretty nice day, okay? But other than that, you're looking at rain, so you guys can get some stuff done on the inside, and then when it comes towards the weekend, you guys can pretty up those yards, right? Pretty up those yards and get them ready for your weekend barbecues or whatever you got to do, right? Get them going. Now, today's show is being brought to you by our sponsor, CPA on Duty. For all of your tax or accounting needs, call the certified public accounting firm of CPA on Duty. You can reach them at 770-732-0244. Whether you have personal taxes, personal accounting, corporate taxes, corporate accounting, or even IRS issues, the professionals at CPA on Duty can help you with your concerns. Give them a call today, 770-732-0244. Now, and please don't forget to mention that the Frank Williams Show sent you, okay? And again, thanks guys for tuning in. Again, it's Monday, so let's get this show started, right? Now, today's episode is entitled, Being a Sperm Donor is Not All It's Cracked Up to Be. And what I want to discuss, someone gave me this topic, of course, and what I want to discuss is the true qualifications of donating your sperm. And you know, when I read about this, I'm like, man, it's more than I thought, okay? It's more than I thought. I thought you just go to the bank, fill out your information, and they call you back, and you go back and do your business and, you know, come out and say, here you go, and they give you, a check or cash, whatever, and tell you to be on your merry way. But it doesn't quite work like that. Okay, once I read through here and kind of started to understand what all is cracked up to be, it's not as easy as I thought it would be, right? But to a young guy with not much money, you know, donating sperm seems to be good to, you know, too good to be true, right? And you know, requires you to do nothing more than what you'd be doing anyway, okay? And if you can help a couple that doesn't have a kid, if you can help a couple like that, then that's just like icing on the cake, right? But actually, being a sperm donor can be horrifying too. You got so many hoops to jump through. And then, sperm banks expect you to masturbate like it's your job, right? So, but a few things. excuse me, guys. When you think about it, the first thing that most of them are not looking for is minorities, you know, little rents and, you know, gingers or slight people doesn't need to apply. Okay. And I'm going to kind of rip through this. You obviously must be a male, usually between 18 and 35. So that kicks a lot of people out, between 18 and 35. And you need to live within an hour's drive of the sperm bank. Okay, that's not too bad. And you have to be at least 6 feet tall. And it turns out, you know, nobody likes shorties, least of all prospective parents, right? Okay, you also need to have a high school degree or better. The bank that this guy went to required that you at least be enrolled in college, if not already a college graduate. Some banks request that you pursue a graduate degree because they then can charge an extra premium for PhD sperm. And if you happen to be of an Ivy League school, that's even better. You generally have to be white. Like I said, minorities are not usually sperm bank givers, but you generally have to be white, as most sperm recipients are white couples. Okay? Let me get that to you again. You generally have to be white, as most sperm recipients are white couples. You must be in shape, because who wants a fat kid, right? He says some banks usually set restrictions on hair and eye color. The world's largest sperm bank recently stopped accepting sperm from redheads because nobody wants a pile of ginger jizz was going to waste. So, in essence, you need to be tall, dark, and handsome, and a good man from a good school who still has wound up in a position where, in order to make ends meet, he must masturbate for money. Then they need to know everything about you and your family. So it's you know, expecting parents want a good looking kid, you know, and they drop about $40,000 per baby. Okay, so they want a Cadillac of babies. Okay, so they looking for the highest grade of human sperm that they can get. So you have to do this whole, you know, thing about your family and all that stuff. Because if you've ever donated blood, you're already, you know, kind of familiar with the process. In addition to the standard battery of health questions, you also need to ensure you've never had sex with a man from Africa since 1977 for money or drugs or shared a bus with him. I mean, this is some crazy stuff. In keeping with the practice of only taking the best of the best, there are 50 or so disqualifying conditions. And something as minor as a food allergy can knock you out of the running. Also, if you ever had an STD, you're automatically disqualified, even if it's been since cure. You must also be able to provide a detailed medical history for every parent, sibling, aunt, uncle, cousin, and grandparent you have, as well as any children or siblings or cousins may have going back four generations. Okay, if you're still thinking this doesn't sound too difficult, realize that by submitting the form, you've given them carte blanche to interrogate you on the most intimate details of your life. If your medical history is decent, they give you a follow-up call to ask a few questions, so you have to be ready to explain any anomalous conditions or deaths in your family. Okay, and so get this. So now you have to give all this medical history. you have to be white. You have to be 6 feet tall. You have to at least have a high school diploma. They'd like for you to have a college diploma. They'd really like for you to be a PhD, a graduate of college. Again, you can't be redhead. They want certain eye color. I mean, this is a battery of things that you have to go through. This, and then get this. This is what I grabbed from it too. You don't get paid immediately, okay? You do your thing. Say you pass all these requirements, okay? Then they tell you, okay, Frank, it's time for you to come in and give us a sample, okay? You go in and they say the rooms are so cold and dreary, just like a doctor's office, except for the exam table now been replaced with a TV, DVD player, and a chair, forcing yourself to overcome the warm toilet seat creepiness that this is the room where thousands of people have masturbated. You choose your porn, okay, sit in your wanking throne and get to work. So, you know, they put you in this room with a DVD player, and then now you got to watch porn. And then you do your thing. And no one on the staff will ever assist you. This is what they're saying. There's a lot of things you see on TV. These guys go in there, and then next thing you know, some woman coming in there and helping them do that thing, and next thing you know, they got plenty of sperm in. But that's not how it works. Although these places are staffed with females, you don't get to touch, see any of these females in that room. You just get to watch porn. Okay? And then once you're done, then you give your sample to the lady, and then they have to go through it. Okay? They have to make sure it's good. It's got so many counts of sperm in there. You have to have so many counts of sperm in there. And then they freeze it. And a few weeks later, they take it out and they test it again. Now, I'm serious. They take it out and test it again. And then if your sperms survive through the freeze and all this stuff and they come out good on the other side, then you're okay. Then they ask you to come back time and time and time again. And, I'm like, okay, when you get paid? And you don't get paid until they go through all these tests with your sperm and make sure that the sperm is good. And they say that everything that you have to go through and then donate, it's about a 6-month period, okay? So you're not going to get paid for 6 months. And then, based on the tests and all that your sperm go through, and the beating up your sperm all the way through that, then you get paid 6 months later. And then once you get paid at that 6-month period, then you can go on and on and on after that and get paid. But initially, it goes 6 months before you get paid. And then once they find, like I said, they find someone who, meet all these qualifications, get paid in 6 months, and then now you got to go once a week at a certain time of the day. They only open from 9 to 5, so you have to go every week in between that 9 to 5 window. And then you can't have sex outside of this place at least three days prior. If you have sex within those 3 days prior to you going in and doing your thing, your sperm count is not going to be as high. And that could be a disqualification for you. So if you and your girl or your wife or whatever, you know, want to have sex, you have to do it before those 3 days before you go back into the sperm bank. Y'all with me? Or else, okay, if I go in Monday, if I go to the sperm bank on Monday, then I can't be with my girl Monday, Sunday, or Saturday. We'd have to work it out Friday, Thursday, and Wednesday, and Tuesday. We have to work out those days. And then on Saturday, I can't have sex with my girl until, you know, Monday night after I give my sperm donation. So the weekend is shot. You can't have sex on the weekend if you donate sperm on Monday. Right? And then you're talking about, well, I'm going to cheat the system. I'm going to have sex on Saturday and yada, yada, yada. It won't be no big deal. But when they test it on Monday, then, you know, I guess obviously it's something where if you have sex today, then, and you got this certain sperm count today, if you have sex today, then tomorrow your sperm count will be a lot lower than it was today. All right, y'all with me? I mean, that's what I'm pulling from this. That's what I understand this is. So in other words, you know, you can't have sex on Monday if you're donating sperm on Monday. You can't have sex on Monday, Sunday, Saturday, 3 days prior to you giving your sperm donation to the sperm bank. And like I said, you got to wait 6 months before you can get paid. So again, it's not like the old days, I guess, where you go in and tell them you want to be a sperm bank donor and they take your donation and then, you know, give you a check, say, I appreciate it. But it's just not like that anymore. I guess they lost a lot of money by doing it that way. Now they got to do all this test on the sperm to make sure it's good, yada, yada, yada. And you got to give them all your medical history, your mom, your dad, your cousins, your aunt, your uncle, all this medical history. And if anything in there is screwed up, then you're disqualified again. And based on what I've read from this particular article, is that, you know, most people, how do they, I guess when they find one, they just use them up. It's so hard to qualify their requirements, their qualifications to get this done are so, you know, out there, right? They're so out there that who can qualify for that? You know, first thing is your age, 18 to 35, you know, so that kicks out a whole heap of gobbledygook of people, 18 to 35. And, you know, I guess, you know, them 36 and 40-year-olds who want to be sperm donors now can't, right? They can't. Although they may, you know, some of them may have just as big a sperm count as an 18-year-old. Okay, if not, maybe more. I think they're missing the boat on that side of the thing. But, hey, that's the way they want it, right? And then you got an 18-year-old that comes in and give you his sperm, and, you know, he may have a high count or whatever, but he may have never looked at porn before. You know, he doesn't know what to do. He may have never masturbated before. I don't know. I'm just throwing some things out there. And, you know, I know, I guess, maybe I had looked at some porn before I was 18. And I'm trying to look back and see, but I never had did at my mom's house when I was living there. So that, I couldn't have a book or nothing. So the only, I looked at books because these Playboy books and stuff, magazines and stuff, used to be on the shelf in the grocery stores. Now they're on the shelf in the grocery stores, but they're in plastic. So the only way that you can look at these books is you have to buy these adult books. You have to buy them first before you can look at them. See, we used to go to the store and we'd sneak over to the magazine aisle, find us a Playboy magazine, open it up and see what we wanted to see. Right? And then, as far as videos, I never had a porn video when I was growing up. I didn't even know anyone that had a porn video when they were growing up. And so that wasn't something that I was into. So a lot of 18-year-olds haven't been exposed to this, but they want an 18-year-old, right? Maybe if they get an 18-year-old, maybe the female staff will go in and help him out. 516-531-9483 is the number to the show. You can call in and listen live, guys. Today we're talking about a sperm donor. It's being a sperm donor, all is cracked up to be. And if you asking me, I'd say that being a sperm donor is not all it's cracked up to be, okay? And then it says at the end, the three main things they're looking for in your little guys are count, how many you have, motility, are they swimming in circles, and morphology. Make sure they're not growing extra heads. The sperm count is where most people have trouble. Since you're already required to have an above average sperm count, and masturbation only produces about half as many sperm as having sex. 50 to 90% of donors who make it this far are eliminated. Okay, so you got a lot to go on here. And it's tough because sperm donation, as it turns out, has a pretty significant impact on your personal life, far beyond just having to take some time out each week to make your deposits, And so you're required to be abstinent 2 to 3 days before making a deposit. That's what I was telling you guys about not being able to have sex, whatever. And then it says you may have dozens or hundreds of children, and they may find you. Okay? They may find you. And I'm not saying find as money, court finding you. I'm talking about find, F-I-N-D. They'll find you. They'll look you up. They'll find you and say, hey, you're my daddy. I ain't your daddy. Yeah, you're my daddy because you donated sperm in 2018. And I found out who you are. Ah, damn, I did donate sperm in 2018. But I'm whatever. Okay. All right. And, it says, one thing you notice right away is there is a huge difference in what you get paid depending on whether you choose to be a closed or an open donor. That is whether the recipient can find out who you are. That's an open donor. Or you remain anonymous. That's a closed donor. This guy said at his particular bank, it was $20 a pop for a closed donor and $125 for an open donor. So Where you gonna take? You gonna take $20 for your sperm, or you gonna take $125 for your sperm, so that one day these kids might contact you. And it says you're allowed to donate a maximum of twice a week. So going the open route will pay upwards of $12,000 a year. Certainly not a bad chunk of change. However, this comes at the expense of releasing all your personal information to parents should they or their child ever want to contact you. So again, I just don't see, you know, it's really not good, period. I wouldn't want to be a sperm donor. Okay. One, because you have to go, even if I was of age, I wouldn't want to be a sperm donor. And, you know, you think about it, if you are of age, then, you know, you want to be an open sperm donor because you make five times more money being an open donor. And then now being an open donor, now you're opened up to these people contacting you at some point down the line. Not only them, but all these others. You know, sperm donations, it could be 100, you know, according to how many times you go and donate your sperm. You know, there's no telling how many kids are going to be, you know, potentially could contact you. All right, potentially could contact you. So, you know, if you're thinking of being a sperm donor, you're of age, just think about all the hoops you have to jump through, all the things you have to do, and then you have to wait 6 months before you ever get your first payment. So think about that, guys. If you want to be a sperm donor, there's a lot of crap that you have to deal with. Hey, that's the show for today. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'll see you guys in about 23 and a half hours. All right, and so you guys take care of yourselves. Remember, rain today, rain tomorrow, rain Wednesday, most likely on Thursday, and then Friday and the weekend, we're going to be good. Yes. All right? Take care of yourselves, guys.
Recording.
I'm over. Hey. I'll see you.
For me, if you wanted to, these expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both. I don't want to choose, and I'm quick cutting off, so don't get.